Blog Talk Radio.
Say that across the board.
For me,
I won't say it across the board.
And I think we need to get back to the stage.
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Hello and welcome to another night of Amongst Friends. I'm your host, Patrice Reynolds. Also on the line with me tonight is Heather Owens.
Good evening.
Joe Snyder.
Hey, everybody.
Deidre Robertson.
What's going on, people?
And, of course, Paul Morgan.
What's up?
Okay, y'all. So tonight's topic is married but feeling single. Again, married but feeling single. What I would like to ask is for all the married people to call in tonight. Please, please, please. We want to hear from you. The number is 760-683-2662. Again, 760-683-2662. Married but still feeling a little single. Of course, there's different ways people can feel single when they're married, and what we're going to do tonight is touch on just a couple. And if we have not touched on something that you believe that we've missed, that's where I want you to call in and add whatever you have to say. Ways, what ways people can feel single excuse me, in a marriage. I've heard so many different reasons that people feel single. And I don't know, I think right off the top, I would say feeling single when married is a little, you know, not quite natural, but it happens. I don't know. A lot of people would say that, you know, that sounds a little weird and whatever. But let's go ahead and talk on that. I know the number one point that I've heard a lot of people talking about is the parenting part of marriage, being the prime parent in the marriage. So what we're going to do tonight is talk about that. I have Deidre, Joe, and Heather, and PJ on the lines. Let's go ahead and knock it out, parenting. I have, you know, on the staff, PJ and Heather, a couple of people that have children. And I honestly want to hear what you guys have to say about that.
Well, when it comes to duties, if one party is doing all of the duties and one party is responsible for everything, then you can feel like a single parent. Because, you know, things that happen with kids, they are constant. It's not like having a dog. It's not like having a career. It's not like having anything else. Things with kids are constant. So you constantly need, you constantly need to supervise. You constantly need to feed kids. You constantly need to do everything that you need to do for them. So if only one party is doing that, the other party can definitely feel like a single parent. I'm a musician. I do a lot of traveling. So when I travel, my wife feels like a single parent because usually we split the duties. I take one to school, she takes the other to school. I pick up, I drop the kids off to the activities, my wife picks them up. So what happens is when I go out of town, then she has all of the duties until I get home. So that's a prime example of how someone can feel like a single parent when it comes to parenting.
Mm-hmm. Just a little personal question real quick. Does it sometimes create, conflict, negative conflict?
Oh,
or are you pretty much, you know, you guys have a good plan going?
Well, we have a good plan, but you know, in my line of work, sometimes things happen. Sometimes, we might do, you know, we might do a show or we might do a taping, and we may have to stay and edit. So whereas my wife thought she might get relief, you know, come Monday because I've been gone for 2 weeks, I'm going to have to be gone for another week. She might have class. She might have things that she had planned, and she has to change her plans, excuse me, in order to take care of the kids. So that's problematic. Whether it's expressed or not is up to the individual. But I think any time that you have to be a single parent, you know, it can be a problematic, especially when it's longer than what you expected it to be.
I would love to talk to your wife because, I mean, women like your wife, let me just say that, because I honestly want to know how do women deal with such busy, powerful men. You know the position of your husband. You know he's powerful. You know he's in the business. You know he's doing a lot of things. And what she does to support that, you know, this living in this day and time, we honestly are in a time to where women honestly do want to be equal. Not all women, but some women. They want to be equal to their husband because either they're making the same amount of money, they feel like across the board we're the same and times have changed and this is the way it is. I work just as hard as you. So you are no longer the center of attention and blah, blah, blah. But I would honestly like to talk to women that honestly know their position and know that a woman is a mate and she is a support, you know, and honestly get a feedback as to how she honestly deals with that. You know, although her dream is just as strong as yours, do you come first? You know, how does she handle you coming first? Although she has a vision and a dream of her own. Having a husband, you honestly have to be in a mind frame of, okay, who's going to be the center of attention here, you know, and I'm so very curious as to how women deal with that. Were you going to say something, Heather?
Well, no, I was just going to, you know, kind of piggyback off of what PJ said, and that it definitely takes a plan in parenting, and a lot of people's marriages suffer because they begin to put the focus on the children and not feel as if they need to focus on one another, or a lot of times with women, we'll make the children the priority and forget that the husband still needs that attention and that kind of time. And what is most times said is, I do that because I feel like a single parent, but I think what has happened is the husbands or the men in an unconscious way have become resentful of the children because they're taking all the time from the wife away. They're angry with the wife, you know, well, they have this to do after school and that activity. And I find with a lot of my married friends, they feel like, you know, the kids don't want to do all of this stuff. She wants them to do all of this stuff, but then wants to complain about having to take them and pick them up. And I'm saying give them one activity and everybody will be happy. So I definitely can see how it is burdensome on a relationship as a parent who is not married, but I do not feel as if I parent independently. I still feel very much that I co-parent my child, and so I see the benefits in co-parenting in that way, but I definitely can see a lot of times with my married friends that parenting does divide, especially if you're not on the same page as far as rearing of children, religious beliefs, and also discipline. It's a big divider in how you parent and how it can divide a marriage. And sometimes the fact that a wife is independently trying to move her career forward and refusing to have another child or to have children altogether is another way where marriages become distant when, you know, parenting becomes an issue.
But, Heather, do you think that, okay, let me just ask you this. Do you think children should come before the husband?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay, so
I think that in order for you to be the best parent, your children have to see, number one, a united front with parents. So if there is some level of disagreement, the kids don't need to know it, you know. And I've been guilty of that, of expressing my displeasure with a decision that Avery's dad may have made in front of him, when the right thing to do is, okay, we're going to go with this decision, but then we need to discuss it. But I always think that you should put the relationship first, because that's what was there first. That's mm-hmm. what was the foundation for having the child.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't
nurture that,
you know, if you don't nurture that and have a good balance with that, it's going to be detrimental to the children, because a lot of times people always say they stayed because of their children, and that is
yes.
the worst thing that you could ever do,
what?
Because children become
what?
Very emotionally torn about
mm-hmm.
How they feel, you know, whose side they have to take. I mean, just on a personal note, I was probably 22 mm-hmm. at one time when my mother separated from my father. I was grown out of college. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was pregnant with my son. And it was even emotional for me at that age. Although I may have understood it, it was still emotional. And so you understand as a child, you have anguish about your parents' suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it's always important that the parents concentrate on that relationship, because if there's a strong relationship, there's strong parenting.
Yes. Yeah, so you don't think that's a form of abuse, the children not. And actually, when you say the children don't come first, that doesn't mean that if there's no food, the husband eats and nobody and everybody else just go to bed.
No.
That's not
what
we're talking about. Right, right.
Right,
we're talking about basically the ability that children can actually come between parents. They can actually, I remember seeing this one couple, and I'm so serious, the little kid would, every single time the married couple was sitting together, they would squeeze between the couple. I mean, every single time. And I don't know, that could mean nothing to a lot of people, but to me, if you look deeper, if that child is, demanding the attention, you know, from the husband, a lot of, you know what I'm saying? That's really real. It's really real, you know. There's a lot of situations where husbands become jealous of the children but don't want to admit, you know, because all of your attention, the wife's attention, is going towards the children, where that is understandable. You know, I can understand why they don't want to admit it, because it sounds ridiculous. I'm jealous of my kid, but it's so real.
Absolutely.
Well, in a right relationship, children are a byproduct of the relationship. Children, you know, come as a result of the relationship. So
mm-hmm.
when children come, it doesn't mean that the needs of either party changes,
mm-hmm.
even though there's an additional need. And I think that sometimes some men do become jealous of their children, but sometimes that's because the attention that you once got from your wife or your mate, you now no longer get. And that attention now goes to the child. And sometimes husbands or mates find themselves jockeying for the attention of,
mm-hmm.
you know, of the wife. Because whether men admit it or not, you know, we need attention. We need quality time.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we don't define ourselves by our emotions. A lot of times a man would define himself by his work, so that if he's unhappy, he'll work more.
Do you think that may be one of the reasons why husbands tend to allow the wife to handle the children more so, because they feel alienated and, all, you know, going back to being feeling single, just being alienated from that whole raising the kids situation? Do you think men honestly venture, you know, end up there because she's already spending so much attention with the kids? So why do I need to even do anything?
I think that depends on the situation. You know, my wife has an option on whether she wants to work or not. You know, she might
mm-hmm.
take a few months and work, and if she doesn't want to work, then she doesn't have to. She can, you know, mm-hmm. she can walk in and say, hey, well, I quit my job. Okay, that's cool. What do you want to do? But because that's her option, she has the most responsibility for the kids while I'm out working. But on the flip side of that, because I know that my wife is a single parent when I'm gone, in order to try to balance that, I try to do everything that I can for my kids while I'm here. So usually while I'm here, I take the kids to school. I try to pick them up. I try to take them to, you know, most of the activities that they can, you know, a little bit more so than my wife does. Because when I'm gone, my wife has to do it all. But I just think that, and I'm looking at somebody in the, you know, in the chat room talking about, do people really know their positions in their marriage? I think that those kind of things are things that should be communicated, because in any relationship, in any, you know, organic living relationship, things change. So whereas 1 year, you know, the wife may be okay with that, you know, after a while, the wife may say, hey, I've been in this house for 4 years watching these kids. I want to do something else now. So, you know, through communication, I think the roles, you know, the roles can change. But I don't know if it's jealous of the children, but a lot of times husbands want what first attracted them in the relationship.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, through time, those things change. So sometimes men are looking for those things to kind of come back around.
That's pretty interesting. Any other thoughts, guys? I know that this guy came up to, he's a good friend of mine, and he might be listening tonight. He came over one night, and we were chit-chatting, and he said to me, he said, you know, he's a professional guy. He travels constantly. And he said, you know, although my office is at home, he has, like, I think 4 kids or something. He said, my office is at home, and that's where I do my work. But I literally work on the weekends. I do a lot of traveling with what I do. And he said, but when I'm at home in the office, I take on all the responsibilities of taking care of the kids. I get them up in the morning, feed them breakfast. I take them to school. I come back. For the ones that aren't in school yet, I have to deal with them. He said, and by the end of the week, I am so exhausted. And I'm like, well, where's your wife? He said, oh, she got a 9-to-5. She works every day. You know, what is she supposed to do? I mean, what? I'm at home, so I take care of the kids. I said, but you got a full-time career. I mean, literally, he was the breadwinner, but he just made his money out of town on the weekends. And I was like, but dude, then during the week in his office is when he made his contacts, his phone calls, you know, got his, you know, gigs together. And I'm like, but dude, you doing work. Like, why aren't you being relieved some kind of way during your office hours, which are during the week? Because you literally do the work on the weekend. And he said, I am so exhausted. Is something wrong? Like, am I not, like, am I missing something? Because I know, you know, my wife, I mean, she's at work. When she get home, all she has to do is eat dinner. And I'm with the kids. I said, dude, answer, you know, your own question. What do you guys think about setups like that? Where he is exhausted just because his office is at home and he is home during the week, is he supposed to take care of the kids? Is that fair? Or is it supposed to be looked at as, no, your office just happens to be at home and the kids, you need help with the kids? What would you guys have said to him?
Well, in all honesty, I think that's a matter of how the relationship is set up. I think that the relationship has to be set up in a manner so that, you know, both parties don't feel like they're being drained. Or when one party gets exhausted, they have to express it. Sometimes we make an agreement, and sometimes the agreement doesn't work. But, you know, especially men, you know, sometimes we just won't say anything because we made that agreement, even though it's making us miserable.
Right. I mean, is it your fault?
Me personally, me personally, I would have said something. I would have said, okay, well, I understand that we said this, but this is how this is working out. This is not working out for me. you need to come up with a plan B.
Okay.
Because plan A is not allowing me to get done what I need to be, what I need to be done.
Right, right. Please, fellas, call in if you want to, you know, respond about that. I think that it's very important that we, you know, the husband and the wife know that if the husband's office is at home, that does not mean that he should take the responsibility of being, you know, the dad mom or the, you know, that doesn't mean that. It simply means that his office is at home and that help is still needed for him. He needs to be relieved from that, and I don't think just because he's at home, he should take on that responsibility. But if you feel differently, please call in 760-683-2662 so that we could hear what you have to say about that.
Can I say something? I mean, now if
please.
he's saying that he's exhausted, I mean, what's going on with the communication that they're not talking?
Because
and
a lot
saying,
of men think
know,
that they yeah.
A lot of men think that they need to what?
They think that they really are that they're because they're at home that they're supposed to. They you
okay.
know, they feel that well she's at work every day. And I'm this, but there's no, you don't compare what you do versus what your husband does if he's in a whole nother career. You don't look at it as, well, you home most of the time, so you should take care of the kids. That's not how it should go down, you know?
Well, what I'm saying is, okay, then why aren't you talking? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just because you're working, are people not coming together and saying this is the plan for our household?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come in, you know, I need you to take the 2 hours away so that I could have my space or, you know, hey, bring somebody in during these hours so that I could do X, Y, Z. I mean, that's communication.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead
I think
of making assumptions.
I think what PJ said, when you have an original plan and then you find out it's not working out, then you do. Like you said, you have to communicate that. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people are doing that. This dude was so exhausted, he had rings around his eyes. And I felt so bad for him because he honestly did not realize what the issue was. Like, I'm looking at him like, really? You don't know you need help? You don't know that just because you're at home, you know, you should be freed up to make your calls? You know, telling the baby to be quiet while he talked to, you know, somebody important on the phone, that's really stressful and it's draining.
Well, I think a lot of times that a certain amount of respect has to be given to whatever caregiver is at home, be it male or female.
Uh-huh.
I think that both parties, from what I've seen in relationships, have been guilty of this. If somebody is home, that doesn't mean that they're at home twiddling their thumbs.
Right. Right.
So you have to respect the fact that, especially if you're out and when you come home things are together, somebody made that happen. If you don't know exactly what it takes and if that's not something that you do every day, then I think there's a certain amount of respect that you have for it. It sounds like there may be a little bit of lack of knowledge or lack of respect,
yeah,
on the part of the party that's out working. If the caregiver at home is exhausted, then something needs to be made to balance.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Well, okay, again, that's one reason why people feel single in a marriage. I still want to hear from some more married people, but let's move on to another point. Another reason why people feel single in marriage is because they view themselves as unequal in the sex and intimacy part of the relationship. And just to give you a better example than that, one person may be passive in the bedroom, and the other may be extremely, just on a whole other level when it comes to sex, you know, extremely high sex drive. They want to do a lot of freaky things. They want to swing from the curtains. and make some things happen. And then the other couple, the other mate, maybe just passive about it. And a lot of people, because of that, they feel separated from their mate because they feel like they're not getting the satisfaction of intimacy and sex in the bedroom, so they feel kind of left out there in the open. What do you guys think about that?
I definitely think that, that, you know, people say sex is not a big piece of the pie, but until it's absent and not there, it is a humongous piece, and it hasn't been until recently. I mean, I've heard people talk about it, but it wasn't until recently when the Oprah Network launched. She has a show on there called In the Bedroom with Dr. Laura Berman, and I love Laura Berman. But
I love Laura Berman, too.
Yeah, it focuses on couples whose sex life is not there, or there's a defunct or something like that. And a lot of times what we were talking about in the first segment about children and parenting, but I noticed that, you know, when she would go to meet with these people, the first thing she would do is tell them to give her a tour of the house. And off the break, when, you know, you would go in the house, it'd be nicely decorated, the kids' rooms are all decorated, have a theme, you go in their bedrooms, and it's just as dry and drum as their sex life. And there's no communication. And it, I mean, she just begins to make so many parallels between, you know, when there's a lack of sex, there's a lack of understanding, there's a lack of
Heather?
I pretty much agree with what she was saying. As far as, you know, the dryness in the bedroom, it's a huge, huge, huge deal. And a lot of times we tell people all the time, we say, you know, you shouldn't get married, you know, just thinking about the sex. You know, the sex is good and she looks good and whatever, whatever. You know, of course where that is true, I think that it should not be not thought about, you know. I think that
right.
You should know, you know what I'm saying? You should know what you like, and don't be afraid and don't feel ashamed that when you're looking for your mate, you're also looking for their level of sex drive. I'm at a point to where I do believe that you have more than one compatible person on the earth that you can make life work with. I believe that God gave us a whole bunch of trees in the garden to eat from, and he gave us the choice to choose. I don't, you know, that's just where I am with that. So, therefore, you are free. My God, liberty. You are free to choose this one or that one, you know, and I think that it's okay to look at people's sex drive. Go ahead, Joy.
I was just going to say that, just speaking back to what Heather was saying, one, I do love Dr. Laura Berman. She's awesome. And I want to be like her one day. But also that it is very important, one, that as married couples, that you have a conversation about your expectations about sex, the same way you discuss finances or how to raise your children or what your level of communication and understanding should be. That's the same conversation. You should have the same type of conversation about sex. And and I think it's very detrimental to a couple's life or marriage when they're not having a conversation about sex, or they're not having good sex and moving from good to great sex, because sex has so many benefits, so many powerful, important benefits. And you can get, you know, like you said, you can get a lot of understanding. You can relieve a lot of stress. You know, sometimes words are passed between each other when you are intimate in a sexual manner. Like it's just a very powerful and amazing thing, and I think more couples should have a conversation about it, and they shouldn't feel single in their marriage when it comes to sexual relations. And the importance of the bedroom, I'm glad Heather brought that up because actually one of the things that when working with couples or talking to couples about their sexual relationship, I talk about what is the atmosphere in your bedroom? What does that look like? What does it feel like when you walk in there? Is it a is your bedroom a place of pleasurable sex? Because if it's not, if the atmosphere is not set in your bedroom for pleasurable sex, for romance, for love, then you're not going to want to get busy and get down in your bedroom if the atmosphere hasn't been set.
Wow, that's real important. Really, Joey, how would you, Heather?
Yes.
I want you to finish your point because I got a question for Joey.
No, I was just saying that, you know, the parallel between the lack of communication, the lack of sex, the lack of understanding, and bigger than just the physical acts of sex, but there's no intimacy. So the bond between two people begins to deteriorate, and where you would normally cover behaviors or misunderstandings with forgiveness, with a pass, you begin to nitpick and focus on those things. And so, you know, you become resentful of your partner. And, you know, there are sometimes there are medical roadblocks that go undiagnosed for that. But then also there are times of emotional things that just have not been addressed. And I think that, you know, it needs to be talked about and people need to open up about having a sex drive and how they desire it and how important it is to them. There's been a lot of study and work done on how sex manifests itself in people's self-esteem. And so whereas we may feel like someone, and I'm not talking someone who has an addiction to sex, but I'm talking about someone who has made the definite correlation that sex is says that I'm worth it, I'm pretty, I'm attractive, I'm smart. When they make that correlation to connect those two things, you know, that has to be nurtured, or they need to find another vice to fill that void if it's taken. And so I think that those sex can be a definite divide in a person feeling single. And a lot of times when it's not right in a marriage, it takes a very strong commitment to keep people from cheating or having affairs.
Definitely. Do you guys feel, I want to ask all the guys if they feel shortchanged when their wives withhold sex from you. Do you feel like, dang, you know, do you feel shortchanged? And do you feel like you have, of course you're not going to, but do you feel like you have a right to cheat and then be satisfied?
Is that the question? Is that the question you wanted
to ask
me?
Yeah, that's a question. That's a question to all the guys.
I think in context of marriage, especially if a guy is feeling unsatisfied sexually or even emotionally, that here again, that's one of those things where if you're not communicating with your spouse, if you're going on with the normal routine, then a part of the issue is for the guy is his fault because he won't speak up about his needs. And a lot of people, men and women, but since you asked about men, a lot of men are unable to communicate their sexual needs to their wives. You know, they have no trouble kind of demanding or asking for what they want outside of marriage before they get married. Like, they even have expectations of what they want to want done, but when they get married, I don't know the answer to as to why, but a lot of times people don't talk about what they want in the bedroom. They don't talk about what pleases them, what causes an explosion for them, so to speak. And so they get caught up in a routine, and it goes. Some people go from having sex 2 times a day. To twice a week, once a month, to every other birthday kind of thing. And it does leave you to the point where, hey, what you won't do, someone else will, but I'll make sure that I'm still taking care of home and we'll still be together and we'll put on this front that we're married and happy, but I'm going to go and sleep with somebody else for whatever reason. Do they have a right? In my opinion, no. No one has a right to cheat. No one has a right to break their vows or step outside of their marriage. You have a choice. Yes, you do have a choice. But as far as a right because you're not getting a need met, no, I don't believe that. I believe that actually, in my opinion, that is the cowardly way out of dealing with your issues is by going and getting the need fulfilled somewhere else rather than sitting down and having an honest conversation about what's going on.
Right. Jeff is our engineer, and from time to time we like to hear from Jeff. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, I just wanted to speak on, well, first of all, hello to everybody. Wanted to speak on what Joy had just mentioned about, like, you know, how some, you know, married men, you know, they can't really communicate what they want sexually from their wives. And it, for me, I've even heard it so much as being that, you know, well, I'm going to put my wife on a pedestal now, to whereas, you know, the situation is that what we do is just what we do, and there's really no way to bring anything else into our sexual, you know, checklist of what we like to do. So in that sense, sometimes it becomes kind of a routine, but it's only because of, you know, when I was out chasing this woman, you know, it was fun to catch her, and we would do whatever we would do, but that wasn't a everyday thing to where I had access to her and she had access to me. And, you know, we didn't have the situation of rings on our finger, but now it's like she's my wife now. I put her up on this pedestal, and that's just some of the stuff that can't happen to a guy in a relationship. He takes all of that, you know, freak of the week, you know, activity that he used to have and like, and now he has a wife. So it's like, okay, well, baby, whatever you give me is whatever I'm going to take, and I'm going to deal with it because, you know, you talk about, you know, the big C, which is compromise, and, you know, you talk about being a bigger person, and, you know, it's okay. It's like, okay, you know, babe, you know, if this is what you're going to give me, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to try and force nothing on you. And, you know, of course, some stuff, you know, you can't really force nothing on me. But, and so I just wanted to say that. And also, yes, this is like, this is not 1950-something, 1960-something. So that, I'm not going to give my man sex until he do what I want him to do stuff, that should be thrown out the door completely. Because that's just outrageous.
Well, I know, PJ, you're pretty vocal with your wife because of the maturity level that you always talk about that you have with your wife. Do you freely feel comfortable with talking about, you know, what you desire?
Yes, I do, and I would like to just tag on something that Jeff said. We both agreed before we, you know, made vows that we would not use sex as a weapon or bargaining tool or, you know, as a means of currency. Because when you do that, it devalues both parties. So, and it took some time for both of us getting used to, but it's something that we agreed that we wouldn't do. So if one wants it and the other one doesn't, then okay, well, you know, let's make the sacrifice, and let's make it happen. Is it easy all the time? No, it's not. But I think it's necessary because for me, Once it becomes a bargaining chip, you know, and you don't get the deal that you want, you go look for, you know, another coin at a higher currency. Wow. But as long as it's, you know, it's an expression of intimacy. And just on a personal note, I think too many people use too many emotions to express or to communicate the marriage. Some things aren't about emotions because, you know, truth be told, if you've been married long enough, you know, at some point in the relationship, you know, you're just not gonna be crazy about that person like you were when you first get married. And then it'll come around, you know, and time and circumstances will come where you're crazy about that person again. But I think the vows are what hold you when, you know, the relationship is not necessarily good. Because the question you have to ask yourself is, what do you do when you have unfulfilled needs? What do you do when, you know, you fulfill your side of the deal and then the other person doesn't? You know, I don't think that that's a reason or that's an excuse to go out and cheat. So for me, to answer your question is, me and my wife have already discussed that we will not use sex as currency or as a bargaining chip or as a weapon. You know, if you want it, I'm going to just say no because I know you want it. Because, you know, here, when it came to the dishes, I didn't win on the, you know what I mean, on the dish fight. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get you, and I ain't going to give you none. Or, you know, if I don't win on who takes the kids to school this morning, you know, and you won it, then, okay, all of a sudden I'm going to be tired. That's a dangerous game to start. It's just dangerous. And really, I think that in marriage, or at least for me, it's really the relationship, the marriage takes precedent over individual feelings. And when you can, you know, is it easy? No. Do I always do it? No. Do I mess up sometimes? Yep, I certainly do. But the marriage is the priority over my individual feelings. Mm. Because my individual feelings are always going to mess up the marriage, because my individual feelings are always about what's best for me, even though I'm a married guy. So I have to look at the entire relationship or look at the marriage in order to make decisions. So we decided in our marriage we wouldn't do that.
Mm. Very interesting. Any other thoughts, y'all? The number is 760-683-2662. Please call in. We would love to hear from you. Jeff, you did not just say that on the chat. Hey, y'all, we have a chat room as well, so venture into the chat if you don't want to call in or anything. See what we're talking about on the radio, the talk radio blog chat. See what we're talking about there. Just going on down the line, another reason why married people feel single is also from financial arrangement. I know a lot of married people that do all of their finances separate. They actually live as roommates. You pay half of this straight down the line and we'll be straight. I have my own account. You have yours. And there is no joint account. Everything is, you do your part and I'll do mine. How do you guys feel about financial stability in marriages? Should that, or can you see that causing people to feel single? Hmm. And you have yours and he has his. He don't see your pay stub, you don't see his, you know, that sort of thing. Can that be possible, actually, to feel single from that?
I wish he would say.
Say what?
I wish somebody would talk about we coming in and we're going to keep it separate and yours is yours and mine is mine. Well, then, Nikki, I mean, dude, you need to stay single. Because what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine.
But what if you have a mate that's not good with managing finances and they told you from the jump, look, you know, I ain't good with this, so you best keep your stuff separate because I jack it up. What if you have one of those?
Okay. No, that's when you have the conversation. I'm good with finances, so I'll take care of that piece of the portion.
Hmm.
Yeah, I definitely think that's one area for me where it is very difficult for me to understand how people operate, but it definitely can be a divider. And I just believe that when you become married, whatever you both have becomes what is both of you all's. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think if you truly love someone, you would be selfish in that manner to say, okay, what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. And I'm not
right.
saying for anybody to have a husband or a wife, for that matter, who's a crackhead and you turn over your ATM card to them and let the mortgage and food go out the door. But at the
yeah.
same time, I think you both have to be open to that level of sacrifice. And if you do not trust a person with your treasure, you shouldn't trust them with your life.
Right.
Mm.
I wouldn't be married to somebody who I couldn't trust with my bank card.
True.
Because my expectation is that you love me enough to know that we need to pay our mortgage or pay our rent, whatever it is, that we need food, that we need clothing, that we need gas and transportation, we need to pay our tithes. You trust me enough to know that. And so you're not going to do anything harmful for the house. And I think that's what it really boils down to, is whether or not we're loving and respecting one another.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're carrying the weight by yourself, you can feel like you're doing it alone or like you might as well be single because
mm-hmm.
you're doing it by yourself. And, I mean, I've seen several different scenarios with that. And it's a matter of, you know, whether or not there's some spouses who, you know, the husband or the wife, you know, is always coming up with this bright idea. They're going to start a business. And you want to support that. But you feel like I'm getting up going to work every day and you sitting here thinking of the next great invention.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to compromise, communicate, and make some decisions about how that's handled. But I definitely do not expect, now that I'm married now, but when I get married, to say, oh, this is my money because this is my paycheck, or for him to say vice versa. And I don't care who makes
mm-hmm.
the most money. I feel like, you know, it's never about equal giving, but it's about equal sacrifice.
I feel the same way, Heather, because I'm ready to hand over a paycheck and say, hey, you do what you do with the check. I'll just give it to you every 2 weeks. Just make sure you give me a little money for some shoes, and we good.
Absolutely. And I think whoever is stronger in that area is the person that needs to handle it. And, I mean, I definitely have had this conversation, you know, with some people, and I just feel like that whoever is strong in that area, but what is most beneficial is that you all sit down together. Maybe, you know, she may not be strong in spending, and so the husband has to handle it, but I do still think you should both sit down together and know what bills are being paid, know how
yes.
it's being paid, if there's arrangements
yes.
being made. Everybody's made aware of what those arrangements are. And if there's a pot of money, you know, I'm not offended if my husband decides to go out and buy a flat-screen TV because what I'm trusting, the way I was raised with my father, is that there's a flat-screen TV on the wall. It's because we still have a wall to put it on.
Yep.
So we're not concerned about mortgage. We're not concerned about food. We're not concerned about lights and all of those things because that has been covered, and that's a level of responsibility that you need to know before you get married to somebody. And the best way to figure that out is however they're living before you get with them.
Exactly.
Because a person who doesn't take care of themselves will not take care of you.
And I also think that as far as the finances, because a lot of times people say finances is the biggest reason for divorce, but I would, and which has been proven to be true, but I would even venture to say that the biggest reason for divorce is a lack of communication. And I'm just a big, I'm a big pusher for communicating, and communication can help heal all the aspects of your marriage. If you are open and honest about communicating, especially about your finances, because someone said it earlier that you treasure, if you can't trust someone with your treasure, then your heart is not going to be in it. And that is just so true, because we do place value on money. We place a high value on money, and we place high value on being able to care for ourselves or having our own. And I think it's very important that if you're feeling single in the finance, you're married, but you're feeling single in the financial department of your life, it's time to sit down and have a conversation with your spouse. And it's definitely one of those things where I do believe in the joint account, but I also believe that everyone should still, because you, even though you're married, that doesn't make you one single entity as far as individual, as far as personality. You don't take on the personality of your spouse. You don't take on the habits or the feelings or thoughts of your spouse. So here again, we come in at this, people come in and think, okay, we're one, but forget that we are still two single individuals who are unique and who have different personalities, and you have to have a conversation. And sometimes, okay, have the joint account. I believe that's important, but also maybe it might be important to have your own expense account. Just treat it, you know, if you got to make it sound good, have your own expense account, like you a celebrity or something, and you say, baby, this is our joint account. This is for our priorities. This is for our bills. This is for our living situation. We're going to work this account together, and this is our expense account. This is what we're going to divvy up, what we put together after our priorities are taken care of, and you do what you need to do with it, and I'm going to do what I need to do with it. And if it gets out of control, the priorities, your expense account will be affected, not our priorities. And it's just one of those things where you just where you have to begin to communicate and talk about what's going on and stop sitting around being mad or saying, I wish this person would be like me or do what I do. Because you're married, yes, but you're still single. You're still single individuals in the sense that you are unique and you have different ways of thinking.
Well, I agree with you, Joe. I don't see a problem with you having individual accounts, and I'm not saying that a married couple has to have joint accounts. Well, no, they definitely can, but I think that if you all can, you know, two people come together and you have a bank account here and I have one here, and if we say, okay, you're going to be responsible for paying the bills, so I just have money drafted to your account out of my check. I mean, I can see it working however those two people decide to do it. However,
right.
I do believe if you have a separate account, it should not be a secret.
Right. Oh, I definitely agree.
Yeah.
No secrets.
Know.
No secrets.
Yes, and I mean, I would prefer that way. So, like, if you know, if it's something you want to buy for you personally, like that pair of shoes or those little independent things that you want to do, you know that the savings account for what you all are saving, the emergency fund, and household things that are cared for out of that account is not touched. You know what your play money is, sort of, to speak. But I don't think that it should be a secret, and I think that that is the time where it begins to, you know, create friction and be a problem because you're keeping it a secret. Or the same thing with getting credit cards. You're getting a debt that is going to be the responsibility of two people, but only one of us know that we have this responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
We have
and
Joy
so I think
from
that,
Virginia. Hello? We have Joy from Virginia calling in. Joy, what's your comment?
Actually, Joe covered the comment because, ladies, trust me, money will break a marriage. So that whole joint account and separate account situation works well for some people. And like Joe said, if you are aware of all of the different money and accounts and you have one specifically for your household, but you know that you have your own separate play money that's not going to impact the household, that works for everybody. That way you don't have that dilemma and that situation between a marriage where the financial aspect of it causes a rift in the marriage.
So what do you think about the setup where the wife gets the allowance? As Deidre talked about earlier, she's free to give up her paycheck and just get whatever, which is an allowance. Does that work?
No, that doesn't work. Is she working?
Yeah, he's the one bringing home most of the money. And
so
but, you know. Yeah, both of them. Let's say both of them are working, and she's just cool with the allowance.
Well, if she's cool with it, then, I mean, that's her personal situation that she's okay with. Most women would not be okay with that because why should you limit the amount of money that you get to spend personally on yourself based on who's bringing in more of the money? If the point is that you're coming in as a team, and both of you are impacting, or both of you are inputting into that marriage financially and every other aspect of it. So if you're equally inputting into the marriage, then there shouldn't be someone dictating who is the dominant of the money, unless you have an intent. If you're saving towards, like, a goal and there's something that you're trying to, you know, strive towards, then that's the only way to be able to settle that situation, then that might be different. But that's also where that single account, that separate account situation would come in, because once he or she blows that separate money that doesn't impact the household, then that's all they get.
So money is really a huge deal, huh?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Patrice,
oh,
my situation is a little different than what a lot of people are talking about.
Okay.
For me, you know, whatever money my wife makes, you know, that's her money. She can do whatever she wants with it. You know, if she decides to contribute some to the house, fine. If she doesn't, that's fine. But whatever money she makes, that's her money. You know, we have a few accounts. She has her separate account. And I have my separate account, but we have a joint account. So everything from my regular salary job goes into the joint account, and we pay all the bills with that. Anything that I do other than my salary job is considered play money. So, you know, that's money that I have to play with. But at the same time, my play money is no longer play money if the regular kitty is short.
Exactly.
And my wife is the same way. So she's not going to have play money and the lights are out and we're sitting in the dark. She's talking about I'm going to the mall. That's not who we are. But because I am the one that works, she doesn't want to feel like she has to ask me for every penny, because though I'm the one that works, she still has her independence, and we like to surprise each other. So, you know, she doesn't want to have to ask me or say, "Hey, I need $300 so I can buy you a new suit." You know, the way ours is set up is just different. Like the money that goes to our kid's school, that comes out of her account. But the way my account is set up, I have so much money that goes to her account automatically from my account every 2 weeks so that she's taken care of. And I think that I think money is a result of two things, social conditions and two, the way you were raised. And you got to make those two things come together so that it works for both parties. Yeah, everybody's situation. I'm not the kind of guy that, you know, I don't have to control the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if my wife says, "Hey, I'm going to need all the money for the next 2 months, and I'm going to pay the bills, I'm trying to work on something," then, you know, that's cool to me. But I'm in a relationship where I trust my wife. You know, my wife is not the type that's going to get her hair done if everything is not taken care of. At the same time, I'm not going to do anything frivolous if everything in the house is not taken care of. That's like, we need a new screen door. And I'm looking at my iPad money going, "Man, I got to wait another 2 weeks." But I think as long as you have a communication and as long as you have trust, I think the money can work. And I think money shows where your heart is. That's why people break up over money. Money really shows where you are. Because you can say stuff, but when you have money in hand, who you are is going to determine what you do with it.
And that is so true, PJ. It is, and what you said about it being how you're raised and the social conditions and the environment in which you're in is absolutely right. Because I think that when you trust, and if you are used to being without or being desperate for or being in need, you get a different perspective about money. At the same time, sometimes when people come from a lot, they don't have the kind of respect that they need for money. And it's a very fine line, because you have to respect your money. You have to. And in partnership, you know, I talked to a gentleman who I guess he might be my husband one day. And I was playing, and I said, you know, well, can I just quit my job? Like, I don't want to have to work. He was like, uh-uh, you got to work, because I know how you like to spend. You got to work. I'm not mad at that, because ultimately, I know how I like to spend. I know that when I see something and I want something, I want to go get that, and I'm not offended when a man cannot say, oh, yeah, you can come off your job, and you can have a big house, and you can have a nice car, and you can have a bunch of babies. I don't think that that's the kind of burden or weight that we as women should want to put on a man that we say we love.
At yes,
the same
sir.
Time, he shouldn't want to just sit at home and loaf on the couch, because that's a burden that you put on the other person to care for things that you could assist them with. You know, I have a very dear family member whose spouse does not work, can work. Children are in school, and one spouse is working, and I mean slaving, taking all the overtime they can take, and the other spouse is just, you know, relaxing. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying even a part-time job at Walmart would make all the difference in that household. You know, a substitute at the school. And I just feel like that when a person doesn't make those kind of necessary sacrifices for the family, it says mm-hmm. something very loud and clear about where the love and the relationship really is. Because no right. woman who loves her husband is going to see him saying, well, no, you stay home. If you don't work, you don't have to work, and see him struggle, because a man lays down at night happy if his family is cared for and provided for, and in turmoil if they're not. Regardless of what the factors are or what changed the situation, at the end of the day, the man feels responsible for that.
Wow.
Exactly. Heather, I want to point out something that you said, that you have to be one that respects money. Me being a musician, it took me, and me being single for so long, it took me a while to learn how to respect money, because
you knew the next check was coming. Right.
There was always a check coming from somewhere. So,
yes.
You know, even if I was broke, you know, and I had to eat sardines for, you know, a couple of days, I knew that somebody was going to call me, and another piece of money was coming around. So that wasn't really a big deal for me. Mm. And I took that going into the marriage. You know, I'm not bragging, but God has always blessed me to be able to make not necessarily a lot of money, but to be able to make money a lot of different ways and at a lot of different times.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I never had a system set up, because there was always money coming.
Right.
Okay, well, you broke. Well, you could be broke for another week. Oh, that's okay. You know, something's coming. You know, and usually somebody's asking me to play somewhere or do something, or somebody needs some music for something, or somebody has a wedding. So there's always some money coming in. And my wife sat me down one day and said, hey, you know, I appreciate what you're doing, but we need to get a system in place, because if it was just me and you, that's cool. But we cannot run out of diapers. We
right.
cannot run out of food until, you know, this next magical call. And I've seen it happen. I know you're going to get the call. But I don't think that it's fair for the children or us to suffer until you get the call. So, you know, we had to set up a system, and you know it worked. But I had to learn how to respect money in the sense of where it came from, you know, taking care of my family. Because
wow.
I had no problem eating steak one day and then eating bologna sandwich the next.
Right. Because
I'm
I think when we're single, we honestly don't mind eating sardines for 2 days when it's just us. And we're just dealing with us, so it's so much easier to do that with our money. But going into a marriage is, oh, my God, that has to be extremely different. Extremely different. Got to make sure you got $50 on a Smart Trip card, you know. But having a naturally extreme, I mean extreme, to the extreme independent mate, I don't know if you all have experienced this, but there are some people out there that were born independent. They are so independent that even when they have a mate, you can't tell. They are just naturally independent people. They have no problems with being alone, spending time with themselves, going, you see them a lot, you know, on the road alone, but they are married, and they are, you know, a lot of them are happily married. What do you guys think about having a naturally extreme independent mate and the other one feeling single? You know, how do you deal with having a mate that's that independent? And honestly, he loves you or she loves you, but they're just independent.
But I think that there are people who love one another, but I don't think that you're an independent person and it is displayed in that manner in relationship. I think when two people operate as individuals in a marriage and mm-hmm. exercise their right of independence, that mm-hmm. it leads to so many other things, and it mm-hmm. gives room for so many distractions. I mean, you're always going to be independent. You're always going to be free to do what mm-hmm. you want to do. But in marriage, you don't do it because it concerns you how that affects the other person. Mm-hmm. And so everybody needs their downtime. Everybody needs their alone time. But, you know, I know some married people who feel like, oh, no, he takes his vacations by himself. He need a vacation. I mean, I can't yeah. imagine my husband coming to me saying, I need my own vacation. Now, me and the boys taking a trip to Vegas with a purpose, a bachelor party. It's Johnny's birthday. I'm not too tripping off of that, but him just flying to Brazil by himself for his own vacation, we got an issue. And so I do think that there are times where it needs to be explored what this need for independence, because for me, when you need that level of independence, you don't need to be married. I definitely think you should get your by yourself time, you know, your alone time where you need to regroup. I mean, I've been in situations, you know, if one of us is in the bedroom and the other person's in the living room, or somebody's upstairs and somebody's downstairs, and you reading a book and you doing your thing, that's all well and good. But, you know, this whole week of silence and I just don't really want to be bothered, no, you and the kids just go because I want to just stay home, we're going to have an issue with that.
Week of silence. Oh, that's so real.
And, I mean, I know people whose marriages are suffering because everybody is operating like, oh, you go your way, I go my way, and we'll hook up at 4 o'clock. What time should we meet
right.
back up?
Right.
Like, to
dinner.
Me, that's, like, out of control.
And mm-hmm. they're married?
Yeah, but
yeah.
what if it's working for them? If it's working for them, then they shouldn't feel single, huh?
But it's not working for you. Because if you're feeling single, it's not working for you. And I'm saying that being feeling single in a marriage is just not about what is displayed in behavior. Meaning, you know, oh, I don't get help with this or help with that. Emotionally, if you're disattached and you can't lean on that person for support, for comforting, for reassurance, for empathy and for sympathy, for all of those things, there's a disconnect. And I think, I don't know where, oh, it was in Deirdre's email.
What?
One of the things that jumped out at me, because, you know, I don't read or reply to Deirdre's emails. However, I did see this quote, and I can't wait to talk about it. And it said, walls or borders. Is there a wall up, or boundaries, or have we just set, like, boundaries? And so I think that there definitely are some boundaries that you set for one another when you need, you know, like, everybody's not a talker like me. But if it's an issue for me, we going to talk to 3, 4, 5 in the morning. I don't go to sleep angry.
Even after you done had work on your teeth?
I don't go to sleep. I have a Tylenol 3 with codeine right now, so I'm okay for the moment.
We got Mike from Maryland on the line. Mike, how you doing, Mike?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Hello?
What is your comment for tonight?
Oh, my comment is, and I apologize for coming in late. Deirdre gave us the link, and shout-outs to Deirdre. But this topic, it kills couples because people don't understand. There's something called interdependence. Just because you do what you do doesn't mean that you disrespect the relationship. It just means that you had a life before that person, and you incorporate them into your life. But so many of us, men and women, get the feeling that, you know, I'm with such and such now, so I can't bowl no more on Wednesday nights. No, you can bowl. You just can't go out to the club with your partners no more. Because like you touched on, there's certain things that you do and you don't do. Mm-hmm. And people get lost in that, and that's how they lose themselves. And then 5 years later, you wake up like, who am I? I don't know this person in the mirror. I used to have fun. I used to play cards. I used to play football. I used to do this. But just because you're with somebody doesn't mean you stop living, and you got to find a balance. And people fight that, and that's where that feeling of singleness comes in from. Because if I was with whoever, if she was with me, why she got to go to the movies on Tuesday? Because that's what she does to unwind. It has nothing to do with me.
Hmm.
And you have to understand that.
You're actually touching on another topic that we're about to go to, and that's when you are living two different lifestyles, completely different lifestyles. You guys are married. You love each other. But like you said, she has some kind of ritual where she does her movies alone, or I don't know, maybe she does something so independently. I know of a pastor. A young pastor is happily married, but you would never know this man is married because you never see his wife. Now, she's at home taking care of the kids. The home is running smoothly, I guess. But literally, I did not know this man was married for a long time. And I felt that there was something a little wrong with that. So that's just saying his lifestyle was so completely different than hers. What do you think about that kind of marriage? They go into it knowing that their lives are different, and you just never see, you barely see these people together. What do you think about that drastic of a difference in lifestyle?
Well, it really depends on how this person acts. Now, you cannot know that they're married because you never see that person, or you can not know that they're married because of the way they act. Now, if it's just because you don't see her, then there's nothing wrong with that. That's probably something that works for them. But,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I'm not talking about this person in particular because I don't know, but we've all seen
right,
this person.
Right.
We've all seen this person that's out there, you know, doing whatever. And you wouldn't think they were married because they're doing things that are disrespectful to a marriage. They're not doing anything just being independent. I mean, like you said, she's home taking care of the kids. You know, he's out doing, you know, whatever it is he does. And, like, I'm going to assume, since you say he's a pastor, that he's doing things that are not disrespectful to the marriage, that
right.
are not, you know, unbecoming of a pastor, which may yeah. actually be his need to do for his calling. So it all depends on how people carry things, and it goes back to, like I said, understanding that people have lives, and just because someone is not with you doesn't mean that it's disrespectful. It doesn't mean that what
right.
they're doing is trying to be with somebody else or do something disrespectful. It's just what works for them and what keeps sanity in their lives. I mean, because for real, what they were doing before they met you, why should they stop? Just because
right,
they
but is
you.
It? But is this something that they're having a conversation about once they come into a relationship, where the person is saying, "Look, you know, I need my space. You know, there's a certain amount of time that I need to have with me," or is you just saying, "Look, I was Mike when I met you. I'm gonna be Mike after you left me, or whatever. So you just gonna have to deal with it," or is there some type of conversation?
Well, I would hope that during your daily conversation, you respect your mate enough to talk about what's on your mind and what makes you tick and what you like and what you don't like. See, for me, For example, I like cigars. Every now and then, I go to the cigar shop and have one. My lady friend doesn't like that. I mean, am I supposed to stop smoking because I'm with her? No, she knew that.
Go get in the shower.
So she gives me that. She likes to go get her nails and her feet, her nails and her feet done. I don't need to be in the salon with her.
I told you, shut your mouth. Leave that door.
You know, things that people, and it has nothing to do with trying to catch nobody and none of that. You know, this is stuff she does to make herself feel good. So why not let her have it?
Okay, well, thank you, Mike from Maryland. I appreciate you calling in. Please, please, please call in again or later on tonight if you got another comment.
But truly, I'll let somebody else
have a mic.
Hey, so we have big man from Ocean on the line that's been waiting for a comment.
Big man, you from the ocean?
No, I'm not from the ocean. I'm really from Brooklyn, New York, but right now I'm
Brooklyn.
In Ocean City. Woo.
Yes, Brooklyn, what's your comment?
Basically, I believe regardless if you're married or not, you should have your own space, but I think you should also just have it in terms of respect. I'm not going to say you shouldn't be able to, last caller said that you shouldn't be able to go out to the club. You should be able to go out to the club with your boys or whatever the case is, but you just have to be respectful about it. You're not single no more, so you're not hanging out to 2-3 o'clock in the morning. You be back in by a decent time, and I also believe that the wife, she should also have her own separate space from you when she can do what she want to do, but at the same time, you're just being respectful about it, and again, you're not hanging out to 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. I see. So basically, keeping your independence is fine. It's just that it can't be so extreme as to disrespecting the hour that you come in and disrespecting the house, period.
Basically, yeah. Now, you can't be too independent now. If you're too independent, then there's no need for you to be married.
Hmm.
You have to depend on somebody sometime in your life. So if you automatically dependent to the point where, you know, you're like, I could do it all by myself, then you really need to be by yourself.
So this independent person really just should not get married. Is that what everybody is saying across the board? Because I keep hearing that.
If
this extreme independent person just does not get
married. But if it's to the point where you don't need your mate, if you, you know, constantly or not constantly telling your mate, but if you're telling your mate, well, I don't need you, I could do this by myself, then what's the sense of getting married if you can do everything by yourself?
I see. Any other thoughts, guys? Thank you, big man. I appreciate it. I like your name, big man, and I'm glad you're not from the ocean.
No, I'm not from the ocean.
Please call again, please.
Patrice, I believe independence, and I believe that even if you're married and you have an independent, if you have a lifestyle that's independent from necessarily your marriage, I still
mm-hmm.
think that you should represent your marriage wherever you go.
I see.
I don't think that you should do things that misrepresent your marriage.
Right.
I think that when you
right.
go
because
out, you go out as a not as a delegate necessarily for yourself. You go out as a delegate for you being a married person.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
At the end of the day,
you're always representing that union. And
right.
it's almost like when you have a business or when you own a business, I mean, at the end of the day, Donald Trump isn't walking out. Right, he's not walking out the door feeling like I can do whatever I want to do. No, even when he doesn't feel like it, there's a certain posture, a certain attitude that he has to have because there's a certain standard connected to the name Trump. So you're not going to catch him out in the street in no sweatpants and just looking any kind of way. I mean, although the hair's a little questionable here and there, but nonetheless, I mean, there's a certain standard. And so I think
right.
that when you're married, I think, you know, absolutely, I did not intend to give the impression that people couldn't go out, that they couldn't party and socialize, and that they shouldn't maintain relationships and bonds and friendships that they had prior to being married, and that they shouldn't have things that are easily identified as them as an individual, but it is your responsibility to mesh those things together. And so that means that friends that you had prior to being married need to be able to respect your marriage and need to be good for your marriage. So if you got a yakety-yak girlfriend that your husband ain't selling, that might not be your girlfriend the way she was before you were married. That doesn't mean you don't love her. That doesn't mean you're acting different. That just means that she can't be the kind of girlfriend she was when you were single, because now you're married. And the same thing for your husband. If he has a guy friend who runs the street and always know where to find the ladies for y'all to get a quick one with, the dynamics of that relationship should change, not the dynamics of your marriage. And so anything that you did prior to being married has to be filtered through, how will this affect my marriage? How will this affect my mate? And if it does anything negative, you have to change that, not the marriage, not the mate, but that.
Right, because if you're getting, if we're talking about being married, a part of the marriage vow says that you're forsaking all others for the sake of the marriage. You know, so people want to get married, but they don't want to forsake their other life. They don't want to forsake the things that they do that don't represent their partner. They don't want to forsake a lot of things, but then they want to call themselves married. That doesn't really work. And the Donald Trump issue was good. There's some things that Donald Trump could do, but it's not good for his business. So his business is more important than him. He adjusts himself so that his business can succeed. And in a marriage, you adjust yourself so your marriage can succeed. Because I'm famous for wanting to go somewhere and just have on sweatpants and a wrinkled up t-shirt, but I represent my wife. So sometimes she said, I don't think you should wear that. Now, is it more work to go iron something and put something on, you know, and then have to rush out? Yes. But if I represent her, I can't look like an unkempt bear. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work for the marriage. The same way she can't go out and look unkempt, you know, like I don't take care of her. So there's a certain representation that has to be done. Even if you never see my wife, when you see me, I'm a representation of what she is to me, and I'm a representation of our union. So you're not going to always see me looking any kind of way. You're not going to always see me acting any kind of way. It's not good for the business of our marriage. And the most important thing is the business of our marriage. And I'm going to adjust myself so that it's good for business, for the business of my marriage.
That's very, 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 very good point. Very good point. I'm just glad you stopped wearing those tight muscle shirts, PJ, because I don't think that was representing the marriage too good.
Whatever.
Joey, I had a dream about you the other night. That's crazy.
Oh, really?
And I was going to call you, but it just slipped my mind or whatever. But I want to ask you our last point for the evening. If you had a celebrity wife and she was gone constantly, we talking constantly, but you done fell in love with her. She's on tour 6 months out of the year, sometimes, you know, less than that or whatever. How are you dealing with her being away from home, and how are you actually dealing with being a married man but feeling single because she's gone for so long? How do you see yourself dealing with a situation like that if you decide to enter into a situation like that?
I think there would definitely have to be a super conversation about that, because I probably would either have to, she would have to be making enough money so that I can travel with her, and I would have to find some way to become a consultant of some sort, because being away from my wife all the time would just not be good for me, because then I would probably should have probably stayed single. But I guess here again, if I can't suggest something that I don't do myself, so it would definitely take a lot of communication and a lot of understanding, and hopefully we would be able to negotiate, not compromise, but negotiate a workable decision where we are still spending enough time with each other, she's still being able to meet her dreams or stay on her celebrity status. We both are taking care of our needs sexually, so we will not have to feel like we need to go somewhere else to get our needs met. And like I said, I will even if we hopefully we don't have any kids. I do always say here again, but but you know, hopefully we won't have kids, so that way I can travel. And like I said, I can be doing some consulting work wherever she's going to be at because I need to be able to spend time with her.
Okay. Okay, I think that's pretty. Do we have Nicole on the line?
Yes, we do.
Nicole?
Hello? Yeah.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Just fine. What's your comment tonight, Nicole?
I just thought it was an interesting question that was asked of the gentleman about what would happen if he had a superstar wife or a wife that was out traveling all the time and he was not. And his comment I found interesting, more so because I think on the other side of things, I didn't hear the beginning part of the talk tonight, but on the other side of things, when the men in the relationships are out on tour or out doing plays or touring or whatever it is that's keeping them out of the house, it's just mm-hmm. kind of an unspoken, you have to be okay with that, just learn to make it work, not go with from home. So the fact that one of his first resolutions was find a way to be out there too was very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what if you had a career? What if you were, let's say, a social worker? Hey,
or children, right.
She is a social worker, like me.
Who's a social worker?
Nicole.
Joe, we got to make the call.
I'm not a social
worker. Would you be willing, willing to if you had? If you had a career that was that embedded, would you be willing to uproot yourself and become a manager on his tour bus?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would. I would because that's the kind of person slash wife that I am. I mean, I would be okay with uprooting our whole family. And we just have one of those traveling families with tutors that traveled with the children for homeschool purposes and all that sort of thing. But that's not always feasible. So, you know, just like the other night, I'm in school preparing to go to medical school. And so the conversation came up, well, what happens if I don't get into one that's near here and have to go someplace else? Is that going to be okay? So it's a very interesting notion. You know, it's just very interesting to hear men talk about the non-traditional roles that they would have to play in the event that their wife is, for lack of a better term, blowing up faster or bigger than they are, or just in a different capacity that does not necessarily include them directly. You know, why is it this, you have to carve a niche for yourself? Why can't you just go and miss the partner like women every day miss their husband when they go away and be out on the road for 6 months out of the year? It's just interesting.
A lot of times their men or husbands, somewhat their character, the type of person they are, is not the type of person that you would probably want to be around constantly. You might have a husband that's a bit difficult or, I don't know, he's just not good to work with. He's wonderful being married to, but maybe he's not good to work with. And in that type of situation where he is your boss, he is your husband, and he's everybody's boss on the tour, you know, could that affect the marriage, you know, if he is just not that one that you want to, you know, be up under as a employee?
Is that a question or a statement-like question?
It's how would you, if you found yourself in that situation, how would you still consider, you know, being with him on the road if he was that type of guy?
It's, you know what, in all truth, that's a really hard question for me to answer. One, I knew going into being married, not even to PJ, but just being married in general, I knew that I would need to be married to a man that I could work with because I knew going in that our ministries, whatever they were, would be joint. And so that kind of coupledness, that kind of business slash familial slash friends, whatever relationship, that all-encompassing we're together every day, all day in different capacities, I knew that that was one that was going to be a part of my life. So I knew that I needed to be married to a person that I could stand to be with all day, all night, every day, and that sort of thing. So it's a very hard question for me to answer.
Wow.
But I don't I heard someone say recently that they don't want to go any further than what their family can follow. And I think it's one of those sort of things. I don't even as women, I don't think you should go any place that your husband can't take you going.
Wow.
Even if it's up the ladder.
Definitely. Definitely agree. It was so nice talking to you, Nicole. It's so nice to finally meet someone that married PJ, Paul Morgan, the PMJ. It is an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Nicole.
Okay, guys, it is at the bottom of the hour, and I think that everyone, you know, on the panel tonight or whatever, who, you know, the inputs or whatever, I appreciate everybody's input, even the callers that called in. I thank you for all of the callers that came in. We had a pretty good response from you tonight. And the chat room people, thank you. Thank you for, you know, chatting with us. We'll see you next week. Next week's show is the dating game. Is there any way around it when I'm looking for my mate? Please join us next week, and we'll talk to you then. I think the show was already clicked off, wasn't it?
It clicked off at 9:30, so this is the after show.
Oh, okay. Joey, I had a dream about you.
You,
Joey.
Yo, what's with the dreams, yo? I'm saying.
Joey, is he gone?
Yeah, I think you might have scared him off with that dream situation, yo.
I had a dream about that, Bam. I got to call him and tell him.
You
said, who is she talking to? Why?
So I was like, you trying to make it all sound like professional, like we still on the air. I'm just like, who is she talking to? Who's she thinking?
Oh,
what are you saying, Mike?
Nothing right now.
Can y'all hear? Is Mike on the line?
I'm still on the phone.
Oh, my God. Y'all are crazy.
But Lisa, I told you, this is the live off the line. This is the after show.
I'm still on the phone hearing y'all. Oh, okay, Mike.
Wow.
I gotta call Joe. I need explanation about this dream.
Well, he's still in chat. Why don't you ask him?
Nope. Joey,
wow.
Are you there? Oh, I'm needing the computer so bad. Oh, my God.
No.
Shut up. Hang up.
Yeah,
okay,
time
you're
to roll
not
out.
On mute. You're not on mute, so why are you typing?
Because I didn't know if y'all could hear me or not.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, shit. I hope y'all ain't hear me when I was talking to my son.
No,
we heard Heather, though.
Oh, Lord, did she cuss him out?
She was cussing at him like, I don't know what.
Well, you
nah, I was just asking him a couple of questions, but I'm just hoping it wasn't on the radio or online. Because he came back and was like, Daddy, you talking on the radio?
No.
I'm pretty sure
people.
Yo, D, can you. D, can you believe he can go to high school?
No.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he'll be a freshman next year.
Stop playing.
Nah, real talk.
That's why you tripped up the stairs, Bama. Nah, he's gonna be a freshman next year, Deidre.
Oh, wow.
You seem like yesterday you was picking him up for Montrose for that test for me.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, he's right now he's being recruited by Cal and a couple of other schools, but it looks like he's gonna end up at Cal.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah. But yeah, y'all are scared poor Joey off, telling the man you was dreaming about him, and wow.
I think he'll be all right. But
yeah,
we're gonna go ahead and end the show now. So y'all gonna be
look at